The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Episode 208 of the Permaculture Podcast, the only podcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And remember, PIMP stands for permaculture is my passion. So don't get offended out there. Some of you little marchies out there that like to complain. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA, but don't forget about Peaceful Valley. That's where we get all of our seeds that we use in the food forest and even out in the pasture. And if you want a tip, I'll pimp.
Tip a pimp.
You can do it over there on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin over there called sats, drop a S-A-T on a P-I-M-P. How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. It's been... Yeah, it's Monday after holiday weekend, I guess, and I think both of us are feeling it a little bit.
Yeah, today's been a little odd.
Yeah, it's just weird a little bit, but we're getting a lot of stuff done, and we'll get to that in a second. But good night, man. So 4th of July. Huh. Any thoughts about any of that?
We didn't really celebrate 4th of July this year.
No, we really didn't have much of a reason. And it was funny because we had some people, I won't say who, they texted out saying, yeah, it doesn't feel like we have a country anymore. Now, I'm not quite to that point, but we definitely ought to be hanging our flags upside down, which, by the way, is not a sign of disrespect. What is it, honey?
It's a sign that the country is in distress. It's not disrespectful.
No. But so many people, when I used to do it, when we had a flag on the front porch, man, everybody would sit there. I'm like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not that. It's that things are in distress. And it was long before now. But that's why we do what we do, because, well, that's not the only reason we do what we do. But it's just like Jack Spear. Man, you talk about a tagline that works. It's a way to live if times get tough or even if they don't. So no matter what, you know, that's why we roll the way we do. So let's jump into farm news. Doing a little bit of weed eating out there. You were yesterday. Hey, folks, if you hear a little bit of feedback right now, Michelle can't tell that her headphones aren't working right now. And she can't tell that her breath, when you take the big sniffing sounds and stuff like that, you can't tell that that's actually going into the microphone. So she's totally in the dark here. So I'm the only one that has the ability to listen right now. So something of a technical snafu that we're going to have to, you know, fix, but like we do this like live radio. So it do what it do. Right. So, you were doing a little bit of weed eating out there. You want to tell them why?
Well, we have a little bit of silvergrass that grows in random spots in the pasture. So we're trying to weed that down to eventually completely eliminate it.
Yeah, but there's more to that story in terms of she was out there weed eating. I was working on something else, and you were knocking that stuff down. But see, here's the thing. When you have an invasive, and this is a highly invasive species around here, when you have something like that, you have got to stay on it. When it behaves like a woody type of thing, you have got to stay on top of its growth cycle. You got to make it spend all of its energy. Then we're coming behind it, and we got going what I have right now. I'm making extract, and I'm making about 30 gallons of it. And of course, I'll break it down in 15 gallon segments, put it into a 100 gallon tank with water that's at ambient temperature. And I'll use a sprinkler to lay it out there. So it's a trifecta. So she'll beat it down, or I will, either with a weed eater. And then if there's any bare ground, we'll cover it up with straw and then hit it last. And if you need to, hit it with some seeds also. In fact, some of those Peaceful Valley seeds, I did put some down there. And then we'll come back with the extract. And that's basically the trifecta that's been working pretty doggone well. As you and I are looking out this studio window up this hill, there's a couple of bare spots over there because the sheep have been there. But by and large, I'll tell you what happens when you do things this way, when you use that extract. What I'm seeing is that your biggest pioneers, or what most people will call weeds, are going to be those real thorny, nasty things. Once you get ahead of that, you're not out of the clear yet. Because it's like the silvergrass says, oh, you got rid of those guys, I'm going to come in and take its spot. It's not as bacterial, maybe dominant, as it was before, but it still is enough to where we can take root. And so we beat that back a little bit and then constantly turn it fungal, because in our pastures, what kind of ratio do we want?
Well, at least 50-50.
50-50 of
fungal to bacterial.
Right. And that's where most fields out there are. If they have anything at all, it's what, bacteria, right? If even that, in right. Some cases.
Yeah. Some there's nothing out there.
Yeah. You don't have bacteria. I mean, and then we're talking about two segments. You got nematodes, you got protozoa, you got worms, you got all these things that make up this soil food web, and each thing eats another. And it is kind of crazy when you get down. When you get down to brass tacks on some of this stuff, it'll blow your mind how much is actually going on in that soil. But it'll also blow your mind how much isn't going on when you're not doing the right thing. So, yeah, make sure you stay on top of that stuff. So if you have invasive species out there, that's one of the ways in which we go about getting ahead of it. But you got other people like Ben Holler, who's using his pigs to get ahead of the kudzu. And, you know, there's a bunch of different ways to go about this. It doesn't just have to be the method we're taking, but we have found out that if you keep the soil covered, don't overgraze, and hit it with some extract, and I'm talking highly fungal extract, and man, I've got some good tricks I can't wait to pull out on that. I might as well just go ahead and tell you right now, as far as making that extract, I might have come up with a, man, I hate this expression, but I don't know what else to call it, and I'm going to say a cheat code. Because I had you test some forest soil, and what we saw was a bacteria to fungal ratio of 3-1, which we've never seen anything that high before. So if you're out there and you're trying to turn around a pasture or something like it, might not be a bad idea to get some of this forest soil and make an extract out of it and spray it on your fields. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. It's extremely high fungal component. So it wasn't fuzzy white bad fungus. It was the good thick strands of fungal hypha.
Right. So under a microscope, anything, what is it, below 2.5 micrometers is basically not the wonderful stuff.
Right. But if you don't have a microscope and you see like a fuzzy white fungus, that you can generally assume that that's not the good kind that you want to be producing.
If it looks fuzzy.
Right.
But if it looks like veins, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be your good stuff. So that can be a pretty good, if you're out in the woods and stuff and you see that sort of thing, folks, grab it, put it in a bag, take it home, put it in your pile, even put it directly. I mean, you could even take this stuff. Man, I'm really hoping to do some videos on this because, man, I hate anything that gets somebody to a finish line quicker because you don't understand the value of having gone through the. It's like when you tear down, let's say it's multi-floor rows. You hate dealing with that stuff so much that you never want to see it again. So you stay on top of it. What concerns me about providing people something of a cheat code is that you may just stick with the practices that may have gotten you in the bad place to begin with. If I'm telling you, hey, go out into the woods, this is what you do, make an extract out of it, and then spray it on your fields. So I'm a little bit torn about, I know that I got to do it, but it just feels like, as an educator, it seems like I'm maybe jumping the gun a little bit for some people.
Well, you also have to remember to stop doing some of the negative practices that are going to kill any life in your soil. Like you can't be putting a whole bunch of fertilizers and spraying, you know, for pesticides and all that other stuff. So you really have to not do that stuff also. So it's not just, oh, I'm going to apply this. There's a lot of things that you can't do.
What folks don't realize, I think if somebody understood what store-bought fertilizers do to your soil, if somebody actually explained it to people in a way that was very, very, very palatable in terms of all that stuff basically turns into salts, very, very, very little of it is ever brought up by your plant. But when you put the right microbes out there, it is a self-licking ice cream cone. That's exactly what it is. Because you got to keep, if you get on that bandwagon when you're applying this stuff, you're going to always apply stuff. And you're also going to denude and destroy your soil in time. Give it enough time.
So then you're going to have to just keep applying more and more. And it's just a downward negative spiral that you're going to get into with your soil.
Right. But if you can do like the guy who came up with the Johnson Soup bioreactor, I think it's David Johnson, Dr. David Johnson. I think that's his name. But like he proved that there was no necessarily a NPK correlation to growth, that it came down to soil life. That's what I'm talking about, folks. If you put the right life in your soil, like the example I was given a moment ago with the getting the fungus out of the woods and applying that to your fields and even to your garden boxes, I would assume. Unless you got brassicas, it's not going to work so well in that. But in all the other things you grow outside of brassicas, doing that sort of thing should help if you have a high bacterial component. What he proved is that the correlation, the minerals, all this stuff that we're able to get out of there, it is only effectively done by nature. We have no equivalent.
The chemical companies don't want you to believe that because they want you to think that NPK is the only thing you need to apply to your fields, but that's not really the case.
Well, when you were at the University of Kansas, I mean, did you ever take any soil classes?
I took a soil class.
Did they even talk about life?
No, it all goes back to NPK. Let's test that and then let's apply that.
That's why it scares me a little bit when people say, well, I'm going to get the soil tested. Like William always said, and like I'd always said, I don't know which one of us came up with it, but it was like, I don't really care about a soil test unless I'm looking for life. If I'm doing a soil test, I mean, really, when I get down to brass tacks, the solution is always going to be the same thing. Ask Greg Judy. You know, he goes out there in a field on a brand new farm that's been denuded and destroyed. It is the same prescription every single time. Watch your management and don't eat down to the bare soil. In fact, you want to leave some duff on there. But that's exactly what worries me a little bit by showing folks a little cheat code is that I don't know that anybody's ever done what I'm describing before. Can you?
Do you recall? I'm not sure.
I don't know that I've ever seen or heard of anybody doing this. But when I had you test some of that stuff, I'm like, okay, the fungal component is what is grossly missing in our gardens and honestly out in our pastures. And this could be the fastest way to get that done without having to build a pot.
Right. Also organic matter. I mean, right. You can't just throw fungus in there. You've got to have organic matter in your soil.
Well, it's in there. It's baked in the cake, so to speak. You know, and plus you're going to have a lot of folic and fulvic acids when you make that extract. And I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit stricken as to, I don't know how I can't tell people this because this is a massive game changer. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, it's like a gun manufacturer. I mean, you can't blame them because some fool went out and shot the gun and hurt somebody. But, you know, it's a dangerous servant or a fearful master, depending on how you use it. And I'm a little bit afraid about what could potentially happen if I show folks the cheat code that I've come up with. And, I hate that word, but I don't know what else to call it. So you and I have been trying to work on and build a compost pile for a couple of months now. Another pile. And we've just not been able to find the time to get it done. So, but anyway, we got some stuff out there curing. And as far as the tests go, this stuff is really on another level. It's really good every way you can turn around. But this is another thing I was thinking too. is that if you're going to build a compost pile, and let's say you grab some of the forest soil that I'm telling you, I wouldn't put it in there on the front end.
No.
Because you're going to lose most of it when you flip.
Right.
And why do you think would be
your,
a bad idea?
Your fungal hypha doesn't start to develop until your pile cools down. So like your bacteria are pretty high at the beginning, and then everything that eats the bacteria is present. But then when all of that food starts to get eaten up, those numbers go down and your fungal hypha numbers come up. They need a little bit of time to grow.
Yeah, your fungal component is not going to be there right off the bat. But there are ways, and we've talked about it on Patreon, on how to speed that up. One little trick we learned from Jeff Lawton, and then a bunch of other tricks as well. I mean, there's things that I got from Stefan Subkowiak, like using volcanic rock dust. That's what your bacteria and fungi do. They basically take those particles, they make what's called aggregates out of it, and they make those minerals bioavailable to your plants. So your plant says, okay, the bacteria and fungi, I mean, it's like the Lord knew what he was doing. They basically get a shopping list from the plant. And so there's this mutualism that you just can't beat, that you're never going to get when you're out there thinking that all you need is NPK or the latest, you know,
whatever they come up with. Yeah, they're trying to sell you.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's not even in the ballpark. This is. And then in these times, that's another reason why I've been talking so much about it, is that, I mean, remember when this whole thing in Ukraine kicked off? Nobody could find nitrogen-based fertilizers because they need the Haber-Bosch process to do that on a large scale. And Ukraine and Canada are the biggest producers in the world regarding that process. Well, I'm in there watching farmers, like, you know, regular laid-back, easygoing, even-tempered farmers, losing their ever loving minds when they found out they can't plant corn. And what they don't know is there are better methods out there that are not going to every single time. I mean, you know, you see it as well as I do. The guys down the road doing the corn, every single time it rains, half that soil's going down to the Mississippi.
And this is a pretty small, I mean, we're in the mountains, so the patches are pretty small. But when we lived in Kansas, you have the whole prairie that's being tilled. I mean, they're not going to have any soil left, and they're not going to have any water left pretty soon either.
But. Yeah. Yeah. You're draining the Ogallala Aquifer. And then even what rain does fall on your soil, it's just running off and heading down the Mississippi. Y'all, we have got to find, look, I can't do anything about those big conglomerates. I can't do anything about these, you know, certain farmers that have done it all this way their whole lives and are reluctant to hear new ideas. Can't do anything about that, but I can reach out to the people that are listening to this podcast. And y'all, look, tell other folks about it, because we're talking about real stuff. We produce real videos, which is why actually we're being suppressed. And a number of other YouTube channels, it seems, are being suppressed as well. If you're actually showing people things that work and how to get things done, YouTube isn't probably, if you're relying on YouTube for an income, it's probably not working out for you well these days. So that's, you know, that's exactly what I'm hoping, is that you guys and gals take this information, you run with it, and then you do some really, really awesome positive stuff with it. All right. So let me talk about one more thing on the farm. And that, I mean, there's so many things I could go into, but I do want to just kind of hit on this one a little bit, kind of going through in my head as to which sheep we're going to cull. Now, folks, if you want a decent flock, you're going to have to cull ruthlessly. Mercilessly. I mean, you just have to. So the things, we got a couple of problem children out there in terms of one of them who was brought up by a really good mom, all of a sudden ain't a good mom herself. So,
well, yeah, it wasn't all of a sudden. She's only had one. So, and she didn't have a healthy one. So, and she wasn't a good mom. So,
and like Greg Judy always says, if they've done it to you before, you got, for business sake, you've got to assume they're going to do it again.
Right. And the other one that we're planning on culling, she gave us a baby that wasn't healthy last year. We let her breed again this year, and then she gave us another unhealthy baby. So,
well, we were advised poorly, and you know, I knew I shouldn't have done it, but anyway, unhealthy again. So those two are definitely going in the freezer. The two boys, we banded them. They're going to be probably candidates to go in the freezer as well. So we're going to stick down. And then, of course, when it's time to breed, I'm really looking, we're really looking to get smaller sheep that can work this ground a little bit better. You want to tell them why? Because we do live in a, most people didn't, nobody wanted to buy this place because of the rough terrain. You want to tell them why?
Well, we live in the mountains, so they're going up and down, especially off to the side and then behind the house. They're going up and down the mountains. The sheep, a couple of the sheep that we have are longer legged, longer bodied sheep, and they just don't hold their condition well when they're nursing babies. And if you listen to Greg Judy, one of his requirements is that you have got to maintain good body condition for your environment. So the sheep that we have that are smaller and more compact are able to maintain their body body composition better.
So they're burning a whole lot of calories going up these mountains anyway, but honestly, that's the tail of the tape. These guys, without a great deal of intervention, I mean, they look like, some of them look like they're having a real tough time, but they're nursing, which I don't even know why they're nursing at this point anymore, but they're nursing, even though the little ones are, you know, it reminds me of that mom that's still nursing the kid at 8 years old or something like that, you know,
maybe not eight.
Well, hey, I've heard stories. I've heard things, but no, that's exactly, they're nursing too long, but honestly, they're not maintaining their body condition. And the truth of it is that we're going to probably look to try to breed in some St. Croix, because the ones that have been born here at least have genetics that their rumen is going to be well adapted here. So I'm probably going to borrow a St. Croix, something a little smaller. Look, I mean, some people want these sheep that are really, really big and massive, man. I don't care about that, because the bigger they are, it seems like the more parasite issues they're going to have. I couldn't care less about that sort of thing. Only thing I'm concerned about, when you get down to brass tacks, I mean, how what good is it if you're big and dead? I need people. I need, well, sheep. I need people too. I need sheep that are going to do well in the conditions in this mountain environment, and they have got to be sure-footed. They got to have all those wonderful things. You got to get loose or get lost. I mean, that's just the way it is. And folks, you can't fall in love with your stock. You got to look at this as a business. And honestly, at the end of the day, the worst that happens is I just fill up the freezer even more, or I fill somebody else's freezer. So there's no losing here. All right. So let's see here. Coming up this weekend. Wow, I can't believe it's here already. East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival. That's going to be July 12th and 13th. Go to their website. Go check them out. Joel Salatin's going to be there. There's going to be a number of other people there too, some of which I don't know. But there's a fair number of some people that I do know. Carrie Brown, another permaculture designer. Can't wait to see him again. And a number of others that are going to be out there. I've never been to this festival before, but...
it's the first year for
it. It's the first year. But hey, here's some good news. I got two tickets. If you can legitimately go, I can give away two tickets. And
what town is it in? Is it what town?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's in Tennessee.
It's in East Tennessee.
Yeah. Go look up East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival. And yeah, wherever, whatever town that's in, I haven't even had a chance to check that out, but check it out. They got two tickets, and the first person that emails me, I'm not going to do any, it's not going to be any drawing or anything like that, because it's coming up this weekend. But the first person that emails me and says, hey, I want these tickets, they're yours. So first come, first serve. Plus, I'm going to know who's downloading the Pimp Cast, you know, sooner rather than later. Also, coming up August 29th and through the 31st, Homesteaders United Jamboree, we're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff there. It looks like William is going to be there helping me out.
Yep.
So he's going to be there. My grandbaby and my daughter-in-law will be there probably as well. Michelle's going to be there, and the whole family unit is going to be at this thing. And really looking forward to it, y'all. If you haven't signed up, if there's another festival out there giving you more for the money, I don't know who that is. So, yeah, that's going to be in Fletcher, North Carolina, which might as well be Asheville. And it's going to be at a blueberry orchard that we absolutely love. The lady that runs that thing, she's one of the few farmers around this area that isn't woke. Her name is Janet, and she is off the hook. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys out there. go to the website, go check it out. I think you're going to dig what you see there. Okay, before we get into the good news, remember Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Got my dogs right now sitting on this grounding mat because with all this electronic pollution and garbage that's around us, y'all, I am doing everything I possibly can to stay grounded. In fact, I put on flip-flops this last weekend. First time, I can't remember the last time I ever went out in public and fit flip-flops. But why did I wear them?
They're grounding flip-flops.
That's right.
So you stayed grounded without having to take your shoes off and walk barefoot.
Yep. So that's exactly why I wore them. And I was kind of giving them a test drive, folks. I ain't gonna lie, I felt like $1 million. I've never done that before I can't remember, because I'm always thinking about a preparedness thing. I'm like, okay, what if I had to have a quick getaway? I don't live in fear. It's just always in the back of my head. Like, if you got a Diddy Mao out of there, man, I gotta get on my bicycle and roll. But I'm thinking, okay, you know, if it came down to it, I mean, if it was something that bad, well, I am armed. So, and hopefully it never comes down to that. But anyway, I took those things for a real deal test drive, and I'm pretty doggone happy with them. So anyway, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA, and Billy sent you. All right, so good news. So Israel calls for a Gaza truce after coming up short on munitions, motivation, and troops. So basically, look, man, I'm for anything that's going to stop the bullets from flying, especially it seems to be one direction. I mean, these Palestinians seem to be, you don't know what to believe.
Right.
You know, but if anything is going to stop the murdering of all these people over there, I mean, man, I'm for it. So, I mean, I'm going to call that good news. But good night,
so,
man.
So carnage. Israel ran out of bullets, so they called a truce. That's essentially the story.
That's what it seems to be. But like I said, with everything going on over there, you can't tell. Look, I'm for anything that's going to stop the killing. So, I mean, it seems like some of these people like the killing because it is so fulfilling. But I'm not with that, man. I mean, people can call me whatever they want. Oh, you're a red diaper doper. What? Because I'm all about peace. You know, I want peace. I don't want to see people murdered. I don't want to see people killed for anything, but that makes you a commie. Anyway, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that stuff. So anyway, other good news. Check this one out. Boy, this man, I love this news here. A scientist to receive $687,000 settlement after being fired for refusing COVID-19 vaccine.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What university was that?
Well, that's really not important. What's important is that Tanya Benton, let's see here. She gets $177,000 in back pay, $10,000 in compensation, $500,000 in punitive damages, and now probably a lawyer is going to take half of that. But I'm hoping this is opening up the doors for other people to drop tactical nukes of lawsuits on all these employers that decided to go commie on this thing. You want to call me a commie, but you ain't got nothing to say regarding some of these people. Yeah, so anyway, that is really, really good news. And I'm hoping with some of the stuff that's going out in Kansas, like I said, I ain't trusting Chris Kobach as far as I can throw him. And if anything, if he does anything, I would like to actually see it. But I'm hoping that all kinds of lawsuits get opened up just after that one alone. So for all you people that felt like you got absolutely robbed because you didn't want to take an experimental, it wasn't a vaccine, y'all. And if you were to listen to people like, I mean, good night, the list is long. For all of you people that said no, I remember telling one of my best friends I said, dude, let them fire you. Let them fire you. Just wait on down the road. You're going to have, he said, no, I'm quitting. So, I mean, that was his choice, but he probably could have came after him too. All right. So check this out. 10 survival hacks for generating electricity. Obviously there's solar power, and folks, I mean, this is obviously going to apply to all the people in Texas, Arkansas, and all the others that are getting hit right now. It might be a little too late, but you'll be ready for the next one. Solar power, clearly. I was never a big fan of these solar generators until I got a couple of them, and I'm actually quite impressed with them, I'll be honest with you. Gasoline generator, yeah, they're very popular, but for long-term usage, not awesome. Diesel is always going to be better. Crank generator, now that's for your radios and stuff like that. Natural gas and LP, you know, there's liquid propane, that is. So you're going to have some of these generators that can do all of the above, whether it's natural gas, LP. That's kind of the one, you know, it could be gasoline. Believe it or not, vegetable oil generator, believe it or not, Rudolf Diesel, that's how he was running that bad boy on vegetable oil back when it was invented. But somehow that got lost in translation. Now we got to dig up, you know, oil from the ground. Diesel generator, I talked about that one. Oh, honey, you're going to love this one. Steam engine, that's on the list. There's a story behind that one. We were teamed up one time with a guy that insisted on a steam engine, even though it did not make sense at all for the time and place. Hydroelectric generator, wind turbine, biomass stove, a lot of good things you can do there. And folks, this is not a comprehensive list. Just something to think about in these weird times as things are getting stupid. With that said, we're going on to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, does the world care? Humans naturally view the world in human terms, human ideals, human timeframes, human importance. Many indigenous people view humans as just another part of nature, no more or less important. Most modern humans can't truly understand or accept this concept. Some of us believe humans are the most important element in the universe and should spread our footprint far and wide. Intellectually, I agree that humans are no more important than ants, but in reality, it doesn't stop me from killing them when they come inside the house. Humans also view the world in terms of good and bad, that we will be rewarded for doing good or punished for doing bad. It doesn't seem to work that way in society. People seem to be rewarded for doing bad things and suffer tragedy despite doing good things. Perhaps it isn't that simple, or the world doesn't care about what we consider important. We worry about cruelty-free products, but wolves eating an elk while it's still alive seems pretty cruel. Joe Dispenza says the key to manifesting your reality is to be in gratitude and have a positive mindset. He doesn't talk about wanting to drive a Ferrari or house the homeless. So maybe it's not actually important what we do, but why we are doing it. Don't do something because you think you'll be rewarded, but do it because it brings you joy and happiness. That energy will radiate out into the world and have more impact than any specific action you could do. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
Well, the powers that shouldn't be certainly look at us as those ants. Some people could even say some of the things going on in this world with some of these conflicts where, I know that wasn't Eric's point, but you know, that's exactly how we raised our son, was to not concern himself with a career that just pays money. What do we encourage him to do?
Well, we encouraged him to do something that he loved.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know how many people I've known personally that had well-paying careers, jobs, whatever the case, and they were some of the most miserable people ever. So I couldn't agree more. I mean, find a way to make it work. Go after your passion, because permaculture truly is my passion. And it is a joy to do it. So EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. EMP Shield, just like Redemption Shield, did not hit me up. I reached out to them because their product is off the hook. Take it from me, 27-year IBEW journeyman electrician. And I've installed these things all over this country. There's not even a close second to EMP Shield. Certainly not the guarantee they give you. Because if anything in your house gets Kentucky fried, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. And I'm talking like a lightning storm. It doesn't even matter. I mean, you wouldn't even have to call your insurance. These days, I'm not even sure, based on some of the people I know, I'm not even sure the insurance would even pay out anyway. So empshield.com, promo code PERMA, get you $50 off. All right. So I wanted to circle back and revisit this. Had a number of people in the past and some in the recent past that have hit us up about some of the biohacking things we're doing and how they're working out. And we got more to add, so I wanted to cover it again. And folks, a lot of this stuff is easy, easy peasy kind of stuff that really doesn't have to cost you a dime. and it can make all the difference in the world. And we're going to cover some on this list that, and I might even put some a little more in focus that I haven't really discussed before. So with that said, biohacking, that's one of the things that we do in addition to all the other things we have to do around here. And I consider some of this stuff something I have to do every single day. And some of it may not seem like a biohack to you, but it is to me. So right off the bat in the morning, Michelle, when you get up, tell everybody what it is you do.
I start the day with breath work before I do anything else. I mean, I feed the dogs first, get some coffee, and then I start with breath work before we go out to move the animals for the day.
Now, I do the same thing, but I'll omit the coffee in most cases. There are times where if I was up earlier, I don't drink any coffee. This is a recommendation through Andrew Huberman. He recommends that you don't have coffee 30 to 90 minutes after you wake up, and it makes all the difference in the world. That, of all the biohacks I've ever done, y'all, I'll be honest with you, that has proven to be the hardest. But I finally got there, and it became second nature until I started thinking about it again. And then, just like he said, if you drink it too early, at least for most of the population, it doesn't work this way with Michelle. But what he found out is if you drink coffee right off the bat, your cortisol is all screwed up. And so you're going to have a crash later on, probably somewhere, let's say around noon, and then you're going to feel like the compulsion to go get more. But if you can put it off for 30 to 60 minutes, you'll find out that your energy stays pretty doggone steady. And like I said, it was not something I was doing at first, but there are some days where I just lose discipline and I'll go ahead and have some coffee, or I'm like, well, I technically got up way earlier than this, so I'll go ahead and have it. Today's one of those days, believe it or not. Yesterday was too. And every time I'm like, how many times do I have to do this to screw up? And so I usually wait until after I do chores before I have any coffee. But as of late, I've not, or I'll take it down with me and then maybe I'll start working on it then. But also the breath work. So I do Wim Hof breathing. And what that consists of is, I need to tell you why we're doing it. Well, you woke up and number one, you're dehydrated. So before I do all of that, I put a teaspoon of salted water into an Echo Go Plus hydrogen water generator I have. I take that water, it's about 8 ounces, and I'll put a teaspoon or half a teaspoon of Celtic sea salt in there. You woke up dehydrated. So that's the first thing I do, is that salt in there is going to help. That's another trick from Andrew Huberman. And that I take that salt in. Now, all the water you take in after that immediately is going to go into your body and it's going to get you squared away. So it was those two hacks I got from Huberman. But I do the Wim Hof breathing, where for me, that consists of 30 breaths, roughly three different sessions. You're going to have to look that up. It's going to be too difficult for me to describe in a podcast. But essentially, it's three cycles of 30 breaths, breath hold. And it's during that breath hold is where the real magic happens. It's not necessarily, yeah, you're taking in a lot of oxygen, but it's becoming CO2 deficient is where all the magic happens. When it's all said and done, you feel more alert. You're now oxygenated and I'm hydrated. What breathing do you do?
I do the Breathe with Sandy.
Which
one is? I'll do one for a while and then it'll kind of start to lose its
effectiveness.
Its impact. So then I'll find another one. And sometimes it takes a little bit. But one thing I want to point out is, especially to the women, a lot of these studies are done on men. And obviously, women are not men. So try it. See if it works for you. If it does, great. If it doesn't, don't feel like you absolutely have to stick to it just because somebody says, hey, this works. Because I noticed with the coffee,
right.
I have a crash if I eat a ton of carbs or even like moderate amounts of carbs. That's when I have a crash. If I don't eat that, I have pretty good energy throughout the day. And there's been several other examples, like the Bulletproof coffee that Dave Asprey swore that was excellent at killing your hunger and extending your intermittent fasting. But I have found that it does the opposite. It makes me hungry.
It did the same thing for me too.
So just because somebody says something, like, test it out for yourself, especially if you're a woman, because women have a whole lot more going on than as far as hormones and everything else than men do.
Yeah. Dr. Mindy Peltz, even, she wrote that book Fast Like a Girl, which you have downstairs. And she talks about that very thing. I'm glad you pointed that out. That's why I was so, you wanted to fight me a little bit, but that's exactly why I wanted you on here, is to talk specifically to all the women. And honestly, for the guys, like I said, that bulletproof coffee never worked for me. I did the, it may, they go on about it, but some of this stuff that we're talking about may not work for you. Now, I have nobody that has ever done any breath work that regrets doing that. No. But you may have to, like you said, for me, Wim Hof works great in the morning, but throughout the day, I do Breathe with Sandy. That's also a YouTube channel where, and I told you initially, I'm like, hey, you got to switch these things up, because I'm finding out that you become a little acclimated and it loses its effectiveness. So as soon as one doesn't work, I'll go on to another one. He's got so many different kinds. I mean, they can keep that Kundalini stuff, but outside of all that, there's a lot of good breathing routines on there. And you turned me on to that guy. So that's another good thing we do. Okay. Here's another important one. Morning sun. Now, we're farmers, so we're out there in the morning sun. The problem is, as I understand it, when it's just coming over the horizon, it's going to be the best. Well, we live in a mountainous environment where the sun may not even technically get here till 7 o'clock. Well, it's been over that horizon for quite a while. So you got to take that as it comes. I mean, for us, and then there's other people that say morning sun and evening sun, it's important to get both, because it's telling your body to kick on, telling it to turn off. And some even suggest midday sun, but because we're farmers, we're out there. So folks, I'm also going to suggest, it's that morning sun, if you're able to get it, if you don't live in a mountainous environment like us, if you're able to get the morning and the evening sun, it will make all the difference in the world, because the wavelength of light that's coming off of there is so incredibly beneficial. I'd heard this years ago, and I kind of dismissed it. That's another thing. Okay, I'll talk about how I go about it. Now, if it's in the morning and I don't feel like I had sufficient sun, that brings me into the next biohack, which is going out there, buck naked, sitting in a rocking chair on the ground, depending on, sometimes I may actually lay entirely on the ground, but I'm getting full body sun. And at the same time, here's another biohack that you may or may not agree or understand, but while I'm doing that, I'm also doing my Bible memorization at the same time. So you can overlay some of these things. Do you even worry about the morning sun these days?
We're out in the sun in the morning. And then a lot of times after we move animals, I'll go do something else that's outside in the morning when it's cool. So like there's nothing I can do about the sun coming up over the mountain. Like I can't. So we're outside, which is another thing that they say, like get outside, do physical activity. So that's another box that we check. The minutia of like when exactly is the best morning sun, I really can't control that. So I'm outside in the morning. That's going to have to be sufficient.
Yeah, that helps. I mean, honestly, that our career choice obviously makes all the difference in the world for that. And then plus we're walking up the mountains, you're carrying, you know, heavy nets sometimes, and that takes a little bit of doing at times. But in addition to that, so there's that physical activity, you're breathing in the morning, you're also getting that morning sun. Now in the winter, we do have red light therapy around here. That's not going to be available for most, for everybody, but in the winter, that stuff is kind of handy when I can stand in front of there and I'll do the same thing. I'll do my Bible memorization at the same time. And by the way, also when I'm doing my Wim Hof breathing, I'll be remiss if I didn't point this out. I'm also listening to the audio Bible, but I have it. I have a guy working right now to overlay the audio Bible with the healing frequencies. And I'm playing that at the same time because I can listen to that. That's also inoculating my brain with really, really, really awesome stuff. And I want to go back real quick and point out the fact that what you said there with the coffee, now that's a prime example where it makes all the difference in the world for me, but You said it doesn't make a difference at all with you, right?
No. What I've noticed when I crash, if I crash in the afternoon, it's because I've eaten something that's heavy carbs. That's when I crash. So I avoid, that's another thing is I try to avoid like heavy carbs during the day and just save them for the evening, because I've noticed like if I take away carbs in the, like all day, but especially in the evening, if I go on like a low carb diet, my sleep is absolutely like, I will not sleep. So I think the carbs at night help me sleep also.
Yeah. And that's one of the no-nos that some people will tell you, because I'm exactly the same way. If I totally cut out the carbs, my sleeping is not going to be wonderful. And I find out the same exact thing, that if I can save them, and this is what a lot of people are telling you not to do, but folks, when you play with this stuff, you got to see how you feel on this. Because in the morning, generally, I eat a salad and I have very low carbs. Like right now, I might have a little bit of sweet potato or something in the morning. And if I do have any carbs, you can better believe it ain't going to be having any gluten in it. Or, you know, whatever other garbage.
Well, and that's another thing. Like, you have to be careful, like with sugar, or that will mess your sleep up too. So when I say carbs, I don't mean have like a bowl of ice cream before bed. I mean have like maybe potatoes or something. But just be careful with the sugar, because if you eat that, that'll mess your sleep up too.
Another little biohack that I've added as of late, and I've been doing it every day, is I eat something from our garden every single day. And there's a reason for that. Number one, I'm using my urine. This is another species of, let's call it urine therapy. I'm using my urine in the compost. I'm using it around the trees. I'm using it every single place I can. To me, it is a waste to put it down the toilet, especially when you know what you know from people like Dr. Edward Group. And he talks about the benefits of being able to pee in your compost and then knowing that these microorganisms will basically, at the end of the day, create fruit that's going to be good for you, that's specially made for you. So I try to urinate as often as possible out there. I know people don't want to necessarily talk about that, but man, it's legit. And urine is not the waste product they say it is. In fact, it's not a waste at all.
Right. And also it is nitrogen for your garden. I mean, yes. it's a source of nitrogen for your garden.
But it's also blood plasma that's completely designed for you. We've talked about the benefits of that before, but honestly, using it in my garden, I'm eventually getting it back on me. So whether like every single day I'll eat some of these microgreens that's growing in our compost, and also like right now, blackberries, you know, Michelle went out there, picked a bunch of tomatoes the other day and brought me a handful of blackberries.
I didn't pick a bunch of tomatoes. There were only like four cherry tomatoes. So I said, okay, I'm going to eat these. I probably ought to pick something for them. So I got, so I picked you some blackberries.
Yeah.
I could have just came up to the house and not have told you I picked anything. Ate them.
Well, let's talk about another free thing. And you were big time using it before, and that was full body grounding. Now I want you to spend a little time and explain what that did for you. Now, especially during the times when you and I were being attacked, whether electronically, spiritually, all that stuff, you were finding out that you were having health benefits in terms of, well, the only thing that it came close to was the times where we went to the scalar wave.
So one of the reasons I would do the grounding is because of my back. Like if I had just run the weed eater or did something that made my back hurt, I would go outside and ground, and that would help my back. It's also very calming, which I don't understand the science behind it, but I know that it will kind of reset you and calm you down.
Well, in your case, when we were being, you were seeing incredible benefits just by virtue of doing that alone. But every single time you'd be out there hurting, you know, you do any kind of work around here, folks, she's had chronic back issues ever since the military. And so we have an update on that as well. Because in addition, now the full body grounding, I've done that myself. There were times, y'all, not kidding out here, where it felt like, you know, we come to find out that it was spiritual attacks, and we have a couple of suspects, or at least one that we think might very well be responsible. And it doesn't live that far away from us. But anyway, it could have been coming from anywhere. But anyway, we got a lot of that squared away. But The only thing that was helping was the grounding. Now we have other things that are higher tech, like a pulse electric magnetic field mat, and we have that in the house that we can use whenever we need it. But I love absolutely being on the ground, and I am doing everything I can to wear these. If I'm doing any work outside, I'm trying as best I can to wear these grounded flip-flops as often as I can. Whether it was out there making this extract, you name it, that is a must do as often as I can, especially when we're being bombarded everywhere around. Folks, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this last part, but Michelle and I called in the big guns. I don't want to go in any real specifics just yet. We called in a group of prayer warriors to help us out regarding some of this stuff that we were going through. We went through that, and then I'll let you take it away. What has been the net effect regarding your back?
Okay, we went through that, and it has been, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks maybe. I'm not sure what the time period was, but like we went through it. We felt great. We continued work around here. But like you asked me one day, hey, does your back hurt?
I kept asking you.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I would tell her, look, you need to stop. Go rest your back. I've been doing this for months, years.
So right? then he just asked me. I was like, no, it doesn't hurt. Like normally it would have hurt, but you asked me. We were doing something one time, and I was like, no, my back doesn't hurt. And then that's when I really stopped to think about it. And it was after this prayer. It was like right after this prayer, that's when
I'm the one who pointed it out to you. You didn't even know. I said, was it during that time? That's what I asked. We got to make the correlation here is that we're losing that. So I asked you, was it a result of having done this, having these prayers? Do you remember it since that time? And what did you say?
That was when I really started thinking about it and thinking back to when I last had back pain. And it was after that session that the back pain was gone and I was no longer having it.
And that's been all this time, because honestly, y'all, I would get the way it would normally go down is that she would have back problems and then it's going to be no fun around here. Because I mean, the truth being is that you would become very cranky, easily irritable. And so I'm like, okay. So I was like, okay, we had an agreement that when I tell you to stop, you stop no matter what. That's how bad it would get in terms of her pain. But I understand she's a tough person and I know there are things to do, but I'm like, look, if this means the mental anguish is not worth whatever work you're putting in. And that's pretty much how I felt about it. So I was like, look, when I say stop, that's the end of it. And so I kept telling you, I'm like, okay, this is going on for days. I'm like, what is going on? You say, no, my back doesn't hurt. And I'm like, come on now. I'm starting to think, what is happening here? What is going on? And sure enough, have you had any of the back pain that you've suffered with for what, 10, 11 years at this point?
No.
In any way?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Folks, hopefully we can, we'll talk more about it. You were reluctant to get on here and talk about this stuff. And well, she's shaking her head. No, I was like, it is important, y'all. We're talking about biohacking.
Right.
And this is just another, I mean, you can call it whatever you want, but this, you could say this is a species of it. If biohacking is to make yourself feel as best as you possibly can, that's why I've kind of put in here. Okay. I'm putting in my Bible study. I'm putting in the audio Bible, all these things. My prayer. I mean, that's another thing. I consider these biohacks. That's not the reason I do it. It's just happens to be a biohack. But it's the same thing where you got prayer warriors that are helping, where two or more gathered that are getting you through the other side of a problem that you were told was incurable arthritis. That's what you were told.
Right.
But you don't have it now.
No.
Ever since we went through that prayer session. There might have been a little bit more to it, but folks, I'm here to tell you, all this biohacking and everything is fantastic. It does a wonderful thing. But the most powerful tool that we had right there at our fingertips didn't even use. And sadly, didn't even recognize that it was the source of the cure because you hadn't changed. I mean, did you change anything else that whole time?
No, nothing else was changed. Like my work schedule, that stayed exactly the same. Everything else, it's not like I radically changed my diet or suddenly started taking a certain kind of vitamin or other sort of supplement. That was the only thing that had changed.
And so I'm calling this miraculous in my view. I've prayed over and over and over again. And I'm praying also for some other folks out there that they get such a miraculous healing that it is only a testament of what the Lord can do. And that's exactly what I'm going to tell you right now, folks. You know, we often say that praying, well, it's the least I can do. No, it is the most you can do. If you come from, look, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to believe or how to believe. I'm telling you the honest empirical data that I can prove that my wife, who honestly, I would have to, especially as of late, I would have to seriously monitor the amount of work you did outside because I automatically knew if it goes past a certain point, we're going to be dealing with a very different person. And I'm not trying to deal with that person. And so it was just kind of understood that it has got to stop at a certain point. But folks, we can do all these biohacks in the world. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, the only reason any of it works, the only reason we have that sun or the healing frequencies from the ground or all these other things is because our Creator, the Lord Almighty, Jesus, my Lord and Savior, made it all possible. And so here it is. My wife, by every metric I can think of, is healed. And that was the biohack that nobody ever talks about. I've never heard Gary Brecko or some of the others talk about this sort of thing. You have others that get into the medical, metaphysical in terms of, okay, yeah, they've seen miraculous healings through meditation and all these other things, but I'm seeing something I can reach out and touch with my own two eyes. And I'm seeing you healed after having done this. So folks, that to me is, there's other things we could add in here, but folks, I don't know what else is going to trump here. I don't know what else we can put there. So people that think that miracles and prayers and don't get answered, I'm telling you right now, I just witnessed one. And I've been keeping the sock in my mouth all this time because I'm like, okay, I just want to make sure this is sustained. Because what they told you was not wonderful. In terms of your back problem.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. There was no solution for it. It's just, just deal with it.
You're going to deal with this for the rest of your life.
Or, like, have a surgery, which is probably going to be, you know, I've countless people have had back surgeries, and it's done absolutely no good.
Or how many people are dealing with ailments that could be cured with prayer?
Right.
How many people are dealing with, I mean, some diabolical stuff, or, you know, there's deliverance that's needed in your life that you don't know about.
Or that you may not, maybe you don't believe in deliverance. Like, maybe that's not something the church you go to is teaching.
Well, I understand. I'm not going to get into a theological, I mean, because I can see both sides of the equation there. Yeah, that's more than I can possibly unpack right here, right now.
My only point is consider it.
Yeah.
Don't dismiss it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I'm so glad you're healed.
Thank you.
How about that? So, instead of her getting the attitude, I was, because I'm like, no, I ain't believing it. Go, your back has got to be hurting right now. And you're doing, wow, incredible. So thank you, Lord. And folks, consider that biohack. All right, so I'm just going to get to, because we've run a little long in the tooth, and I got some things I got to get done. Got this one from Kurt. And folks, I couldn't read this one soon enough because it really just encapsulates everything that we're trying to do here. So I'm on a hillside that's mainly gravel. I read your scrap studying book, and I got a small mountain of wood chips, dropped it off, started to build some organic matter. The tree service that dumped them, maybe their chipper blade was dull or something because it didn't fully chop up a lot of the green sticks, which made them pile into a tangled mess. I was grumbling a little bit when I pulled out the sticks and he couldn't even shovel it first when I heard Billy's voice saying his favorite phrase, "The problem is the solution." Amen to that. Well, hold on. If these sticks could form a tangle and keep the wood chips from moving in the pile, they could also do the same thing on the hillside I was trying to build up. I deliberately made a tangled mat of sticks and filled them in between with the chips. I mean, you know, I could go on, but man, I got such joy when I read this. I can't even begin to describe the amount of joy that gives me, because it's one thing for me to say a lot of this stuff. It's entirely another when you hear people out here empirically doing this stuff and doing incredible things with it. And you just hit it, you hit the nail right there. And it's funny you mention that, because I ran into the same sort of problem when it came to dealing with hay and straw sometimes, or dealing with wood chips. And so I would put straw in between there, or hay, depending on the application, for that very same reason, because it kind of acted like an aggregate with the wood chips. So it's amazing how you can make all this stuff happen. But folks, this is what I'm saying, is that a book is less important for what it says than for what it makes you think. And this is a prime example of it. The problem is the solution. You're not always going to find all these little bitty examples that you need on the day-to-day activities on your farm, but they're there. You just got to look. You got to think outside the box, and don't forget to pray. All right, y'all, that's going to do it from us. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Always catches the worm. Now I gotta get up in the morning. Gotta make up for the best of my life.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.